Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Well, good morning. This is Jackie Perry, your host for NABWIC Talks, and we are so excited to be here on this wonderful morning. We have with us a very, very special guest. Many of you are going to be so surprised as I was that he took time from his itinerary just to stop by and talk to us all across the country today. So I just want to say hello to NABWIC members and non-members who might be all across the country. And as you're listening in, we do want you to go get somebody else and tell them to tune in because there's something great that they'll want to hear today. So I'm going to dive right in. Today our guest is Sean Shaw, who is running for the Office of Attorney General. But not just that. What's unique for us here, especially in Jacksonville, is that Sean has some roots here in Jacksonville, and I'm going to have him tell you a little bit about himself. But just in summary, just know that we are talking today to an attorney, an insurance consumer advocate, a legislative representative, and especially for those of you down in the Tampa area, you may be very, very familiar with Sean, I'm sure. But as we said, he has thrown his hat for the Office of Attorney General, and we're going to talk to him today about some of his past successes and what he plans to do as he takes office, as we are pretty certain that he will. So without any further ado, Sean, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? I'm happy to be here this morning.
Well, we are certainly happy to have you here. So this is very, very exciting for us. And as I was just telling the audience, a little bit of a surprise. We took the opportunity as you were visiting here in Jacksonville to snag you up a little bit.
Right, right.
So we're really, really blessed today. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Jacksonville.
Sure. Well, I visited churches earlier today. So we went to Abyssinia and then we went to Bethel Baptist earlier today. And, you know, Bethel has a special place in my heart. I was born in Jacksonville and Bethel is my family's traditional church. And if you're especially from Florida, you might know my father is Leander J. Shaw Jr. He's the first African-American Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court. And his legal career really started and flourished here in the Jacksonville area. So he was the first African-American assistant public defender, the first African-American assistant prosecutor. He integrated the Jacksonville Bar Association. A lot of firsts represented NAACP here. He was a legend here in the Jacksonville area, and we spent a lot of time here. But I grew up in Tallahassee because he was on the Supreme Court by the time I came around. But I was born here in Jacksonville, and so it is fitting on Father's Day. Dad passed in late 2015. It's fitting that on Father's Day I was able to visit Bethel, where the family still goes to church and where his homegoing service actually was held. So today was a good day. And one that was a special day in the middle of this kind of crazy campaign we got running statewide to be Attorney General.
Well, again, we want to welcome you
to
the show. And for those of you that are history buffs, certainly, and for others, we're very familiar with Leander Shaw. And so we're very, very fortunate that he has left certainly a legacy as he has with Sean here. So once again, we're really, really privileged to have him with us today. So Sean, we do know a lot about your dad. I mean, he made history, mm-hmm. making a lot of the firsts, and very historic. And you are making history also. You've done a lot of great things already in your career. So if you could backtrack a little bit and just tell us a little bit about you.
Sure.
And where you started and where you are now.
Sure. So like I said, I was born in Jacksonville, but we moved to Tallahassee when I was very young. And so I grew up in Tallahassee, and I went to public school in Tallahassee. And then I went to Princeton University for college and the University of Florida for law school. And after I graduated law school, I moved back to Tallahassee and worked for some law firms there. And I was then honored to be appointed to be the state's insurance consumer advocate. And what that means is I was kind of responsible for making sure insurance consumers were protected in Florida. So I ran an office of about 12 people, and we traveled around the state. I testified before the Florida legislature, before Congress on insurance issues. We had numerous kind of hearings, and it was just an office where you were the consumer's protector throughout the state of Florida on all types of insurance, workers' comp, health, property, life, all types of insurance. I was responsible for making sure consumers were protected. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I resigned that to work on a gubernatorial race when Alex Sink was running for governor. I worked on her governor's race, and that's how I ended up in Tampa. That race was headquartered in Tampa. So when she lost, I moved to Tampa and became a lawyer in private practice, and I am what they call a plaintiff's lawyer. So I represent people against insurance companies, and that kind of jives with the background I had as the insurance consumer advocate. So, for example, if your roof blows off and you make a claim with your insurance company and they don't pay it, you would call me and my law firm and we would help you do that. And so I moved to Tampa in 2010. And was very involved in the community and ended up running for the Florida legislature here in 2016. And here we are. So I got elected in 2016, and we've had two legislative sessions under our belt, and we did very well. I'm a freshman Democrat from an African-American district. So if you know Florida, you know Republicans run things. And so we were able to pass and get signed into law several bills around consumer protection and affordable housing and things like that. So that was a pretty big deal. A lot of people don't pass bills the whole time they're up there. So we were able to do that and be successful. I ran. I told my constituents that I was going to fight for criminal justice reform and affordable housing and vocational training and public education. So that's the reason I ran for office and what we aspired to do when we got there. And, but if you listen to my background, it involves my father and consumer protection and being a lawyer and wanting to do right in Tallahassee. You wrap all those things into one office, and guess what it is? It's the Attorney General's office of the state of Florida. So it's an office I always wanted to run for. It's the dream job. I think it's the best job in politics in Florida. I think it's better than the governor's office. I think it's better than the U.S. Senate, because all you do is you're the people's lawyer. So I represent the citizens of the state of Florida as their lawyer, essentially, when I'm the Attorney General. So I'm the people's lawyer. That's a great job. And so it kind of jives with my consumer protection background. It certainly jives with what I did as a legislator, which was looking out for people who were who needed to be looked out for. And, this, quite candidly, this is a big-time race, right? I could have run for re-election pretty easily. But I think – I don't want to get too political, but I think 20 years, 30 years from now, our children and our grandchildren are going to ask us what we did during these times. I think that's what kind of times we're living in. Mm-hmm. We're living in some dangerous times. And so the president, his actions, you got to do something. And what that something is can change from person to person. But everybody within the sound of my voice ought to be doing something during these times. Mm-hmm. And so I started really kind of thinking about what I wanted to do, if I wanted to run for reelection, if I wanted to run for something different. And if you remember when the president first got elected, it wasn't Congress that was kind of preventing the president from doing some of these crazy things like the Muslim travel ban. It was attorney generals around the country. I mean, it was attorney generals who were suing the president when your privacy with regard to Facebook was getting breached and these net neutrality issues and the president profiting from the presidency, in violation of the U.S. Constitution. These things, he's being attacked on these by attorney generals, not Congress. It's attorney generals who are around the country who are standing up to the president. And, you know, it started to become apparent that this was a race we could win. You know, I was thinking about it. No one major had gotten in the race. The president was, like I said, doing what he was doing. I realized that being a Democrat in Tallahassee wasn't the place where you could get stuff done. If you wanted to really do stuff, the type of protection, the type of action that I want to do, it was the attorney general's office. And so I finally came to the conclusion, both personally and politically, that it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you could want to do a lot of things. If you can't win, or it's not the right time, then you gotta be realistic about it. And so I kind of, you know, talked to my people and talked to my donors and talked to my advisors, and it became clear that this was a race that I wanted to do, that I felt passionate about, and that I could win. Mm-hmm. So we did it. So I announced January, which was pretty late, actually. I announced in January this year, and we really started campaigning after the legislative session. We were in session from January to March. So in March, we hit the ground running, and we've done very well. You know, I've gotten the endorsement of Bob Butterworth, the last Democratic Attorney General, Judge Joseph Hatchett, who was the first African-American Supreme Court Justice right before my dad. We've gotten the endorsement of almost the entire Florida legislative delegation. The teachers have endorsed us. The police have endorsed us. The unions have endorsed us. The firefighters have endorsed us. I mean, we're really hitting on all cylinders. We're raising the money you need to raise. You know, it's a hard race, though. You got to get around the state. Florida's a big place from Key West to Panama City, but we are doing the things you need to do to win. And I'm, quite frankly, I am most likely going to be the Democratic nominee mm-hmm. for Attorney General. And just that, I'll be the first African-American major candidate to be the nominee for Attorney General of the state of Florida. And of course, when we win, I'll be the first African-American Attorney General in Florida. So that's a long way of saying that it's the right time, it's the right race, I have the right background for it, and so we decided to do it.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing
yeah.
that. And you mentioned, too, in some of your past tenure, and especially working with Alex Sink.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, as we were sitting here conducting this interview in a business incubator, that Alex Sink and her office came down to visit. And you're right. I think the type of offices that you've held where it's been areas that are really close to where people
right.
live, are they being taken care of, or do they really know their rights? Is there someone looking out for their protection
right.
As consumers, as business owners, et cetera? And so her highlighting what that was all about was really, really important, and people got a chance to really become engaged. And so I can see that you're following
right.
that course in terms of well, getting really, really involved.
It's kind of also, who are you there to look out for? I mean, I would make the case the current attorney general has not been looking out for the everyday citizens of the state of Florida. She's been looking out for how to get on Fox and looking out for Republican interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't give me an example of when she has disagreed with the Republican leadership of the state. And I don't want to be political, but what, you know, the way I am going to address this is I don't care who's in power.
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing wrong to the citizens of the state of Florida, I'm coming after you. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, a big business, a small business, an individual. This job is a job where you need to be protecting Floridians and going after them, no matter who they are, what they are. That's the kind of attorney general you'll get when I'm in there. And that, listen, that's going to ruffle some feathers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get along with everybody. That's okay. I'd run for re-election if I wanted to do that. I know what I'm running for. I know it's going to ruffle feathers. I know when I get there, some people are going to have their feelings hurt, but good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running to be the people's lawyer. I'm going to represent them the way I see fit.
Yeah. Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, so let me ask you a bit question. So you kind of gave us a little bit of insight as to what the Attorney General's office does.
Mm-hmm.
So, and looking ahead, we are expecting you to be that first again. So when you're in that office of Attorney General, what are some of the key priorities that you're looking to focus on?
Great question. So the Attorney General's office has a civil rights division. And I would tell you that it's my belief that that division hasn't been used as it should. That division is just what it says, protects the civil rights of people of the state of Florida. Let me give an example of what that civil rights division might do. There have been dozens of instances around the country of people of color meeting a tragic end in the hand of law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look into that. we need to figure out why that's happening. We need to figure out what exactly is happening in each of these cases. Mm-hmm. The Civil Rights Division of the Attorney General's Office in Florida will do such that. And listen, all I said was look into it, not make any judgments, not wrongly besmirch anyone, but our community needs to know that it's being handled fairly, objectively, and in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not believe that that is happening when all you get is we didn't find anything wrong. Mm-hmm. We need a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We need a little more, and we need to be confident that an investigation took place, it was fair, nothing was found. Okay, mm-hmm. We can deal with that. But our community, and listen, I represent the African-American community in Tampa, and I speak to all my Black Caucus colleagues around the state. Our communities need a little more assurance that it's being done the right way
mm-hmm.
around the state.
Right.
So that's an example. You know, there's other examples. We passed these constitutional amendments here in Florida, and the legislature doesn't do them. You know, we passed medicinal marijuana here in Florida. The legislature has tried to stop it all every step of the way. You still can't really get access to it in the way that the people said they wanted you to have access to it. Here in Florida, we have a constitutional amendment that says public education will be adequately funded. The way that we fund vouchers and charters here in the state of Florida and take the money from public to give it to private, I would tell you runs afoul of that constitutional amendment. We have a constitutional amendment where money from doc stamp transactions should go to buy environmentally sensitive lands around the state. That's not being done. What office do you go to hold the legislature accountable when they are doing things like that? It's the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, day one, we're going to do some things about those things that I just said. Day one. Those are egregious examples of the legislature not doing what the people told us to do. And so, you know, those are some of the priorities, and clearly the opioid crisis is one that we need to hold the pharmaceutical industry accountable. That is something that we will focus on, but I want people to understand this is going to be 180 degrees different than how the office has been run.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be active, proactive, the most active Attorney General's office in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we intend to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're looking for reasons to hold people accountable. The people who are there now, the Attorney General now, kind of looks for reason not to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to be proactive, and I think that's how the office ought to be run. And, you know, my background kind of tells you I'm used to the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to fighting against the biggest people there are out there, and that's what you need in the Attorney General. I mean, mm-hmm. who else do you want to be a lawyer?
Yeah.
Someone that's been used to doing it and that will do it on your behalf.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, our motto is for the people, not the power.
Right.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, thank you for being the people's lawyer.
Well,
I think it's about time we...
You go get one.
Like,
you go get one.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you got a tall order, a lot of things to address, like
right.
you said, in terms of priorities when you get there. One that you didn't mention, talk a little bit, because I know this is on a lot of people's minds
right.
as well. Talk a little bit about the legislation that is out there now to restore voter
rights. Yes.
To,
so, one, if you live in Florida, vote yes on Amendment 4. That is the amendment to automatically restore the rights of felons once they have served their time, except for the most violent of offenses. Once you've done your time, there is no reason you should not get your rights to vote back.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple to me. But what we have in place now, you know, now the clemency process, the reason we have to have this amendment is because it is extremely difficult for you to get your rights back. You have to go to Tallahassee. You have to appear before the cabinet and the governor. You are not, you know, it's a very small percentage of people who can get their rights back, and we have a backlog years long of people trying to get their rights restored, and it is kind of a willy-nilly process. There's no rhyme or reason. And a judge even said, this is unconstitutional the way you do it now.
Mm-hmm.
The Attorney General who's in there now said that she will fight to the U.S. Supreme Court to make sure that the clemency process can remain as it is. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have an Attorney General who was on your side and who believed that rights ought to be restored automatically and that was willing to change that process to make it easier to restore people's rights? I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about now. That's the kind of thing when two different people in the same office can affect change depending on how they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to keep it as it is, and will do everything she can to do it. I'm the exact opposite. I will do everything in my power, which when you're the Attorney General is a lot of power,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we change it and make it fairer. And, you know, there's other there's other things you didn't mention it, but something that's near and dear to my heart is criminal justice reform, right?
Mm-hmm.
How we sentence people, mm-hmm. how we treat juveniles. We should not be treating juveniles as adults in the fashion that Florida does. We're one of the worst states in the country in treating juveniles as adults, and all the stats and all the reports show once a juvenile is in the system as an adult, that's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
The school to prison pipeline, bail reform, all of these things, mandatory minimums. All of these things need to be addressed. And a lot of these things are legislative issues that the legislature's got to change. But wouldn't it be nice to have an attorney general who believed in criminal justice reform and who was a champion in making sure that the legislature addressed that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you're getting, some things that you just never have had before in that office.
Yeah.
And so your question kind of, well, what does the attorney general do? We don't know because we haven't had one there. And I've got to tell people what I intend to do, because the office, like I told you before, it's the best office in Florida. You can do so much good with so little interference from politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to ask the governor's permission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to run anything by the legislature. I can do whatever I want to do under the law to protect Floridians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we intend to do.
Well, great. Well, I think the objectivity and the neutrality is going to be beneficial both
mm-hmm.
for you and for the citizens
mm-hmm.
around Florida. So we do appreciate that. And I know we're running out of time. One thing I do want to say is that let our audience know, we usually kind of stop and give you a chance to ask questions, to call in. We are pre-recording the show, but we will give another opportunity, surely.
Yeah.
We'll have a chance to get Sean Shaw back on again. And
I commit to do that. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Very good. But I do want to ask you one last question. This is a question we typically ask all of our guests
mm-hmm.
that are on the show. One of the things, we're a big believer in development, personal and
mm-hmm.
business development. So let us know, what are some of your favorite books or authors, and any recommended reading?
That's a good question. I don't know the last time I had a chance to read a book. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Someone I love to read when I have the chance is Malcolm Gladwell. And I won't lie, a lot of times I read these kind of adventure fiction books when I have my feet
something
just to get away from it. So I haven't read a nonfiction book in a while. I consume a lot of news from a variety of sources just to make sure that I'm up to date on things. And quite frankly, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what in the world is going on in Washington, D.C.
Mm. Yeah,
and what it means legally, what it means politically. I think we are on the precipice of the president trying to pardon his way out of the Russia investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent a lot of time consuming news about that, as probably we all do, and what's going to happen and how is the country going to react when that happens. And beyond that, you know, I travel around the state a lot and I just don't have the time to do it. I tell you what, though, after this election, I would be back in the saddle. But I just don't have much time now to do it like I want to.
Yeah, well, we certainly.
But Malcolm Gladwell is one of my favorite authors. I think he is a giant of our times.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Anything, any last words or comments that you'd like to leave for our listening audience today?
Sure, I would tell you, look, I'm the state representative from Tampa, so I'm a member of the legislature. Be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Be involved. Advocate for your members. Advocate for your mission. Because I can guarantee you, someone else is up there advocating for something against you.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, I'm glad you're in here in my office trying to lobby me on this issue, because the minute you walk out, four people are going to come and tell me why you're exactly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be involved. You have to let people know why your mission is important, why we need to hold dear to that mission and advocate for more opportunities for African-American women in construction, more opportunities, I bet, for state dollars to go to them, more opportunities for diversity and who gets contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be advocating for that stuff, because unless you're front and center, you're not going to get the attention you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So just stay involved.
All right, thank you. Really,
yeah.
Those parting words. And we have been listening to candidate for Attorney General Sean Shaw. And we would like for you to tune in again on next Wednesday. But, Sean, thank you so much.
No, I appreciate you having me. Let me say my website is seanshaw.com, SEANSHAW.com. My Twitter handle is at SSHAWFL. And sign up for our email and follow me on Twitter and do all that good stuff.
All right. And this broadcast will be online, and we'll have all that information available to you. So check it out. Visit Sean online and be a supporter Until next week, you've been listening to National Association of Black Women in Construction.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.
Mm-hmm.